When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, I'm Grongy Maguire, and this is Chantelle Fiduch and Pate.
Hello.
We bonded over our love of reminiscing about weird celebrity couples. The ones no one would believe happened if Google wasn't there to back it up.
We want you to join us as we remember when love was young, times were simpler, and we really thought that Angelina and Billy Bob Thornton were going to make it.
Every week, we're joined by a celebrity guest to discuss the showbiz romance they never got over. So take our hand and stroll down memory lane with us as we remember
the way they were.
Hi, Chantelle.
Hi, Grania. How are you?
I'm very excited. We've had some feedback from our listeners.
I love getting feedback. Hint, hint, if you're listening to this, please listen, please subscribe, please review on iTunes, and please write into us on the email and the Instagrams and the Twitters.
We're very needy. If you email us or just contact us in any way, chances of us replying are very high.
Extremely high. And it will be us, Grania or I. We're losers and we will reply. What have we got? Tell me.
Well, so I put the word out to ask listeners what celebrity couples they would like us to cover that we haven't covered far.
I saw that. Yes.
Two of my favorite ones. So Gwen and Gavin.
I've had that. I know at least three people have told me Gwen and Gavin. All straight men, by the way. Straight men are really into Gwen and Gavin.
Yeah, I think straight men really like Gwen Stefani. They're a loyal bunch, really.
Yeah, and they also know that Bush was an amazing man. So anyways, go on. These are all men of a certain age. Go on.
This is what I genuinely thought. Oh my God, I felt like the lady in Titanic. I was like, I can still smell the fresh paint.
Okay.
For the couple, Kerry Katona and Brian McFadden.
How has that not happened yet? Have we not had that yet? There's a lot to go through for Kerry Katona, though. So in your defense, I think you'd rather have Gwen and Gavin. It's a much simpler story.
But this is what I've
Kerry
a personal
Katona
connection.
Alone is a 3-hour podcast.
So Kerry Katona and Brian McFadden got married in Slane Castle, which is about 20 minutes walk from my parents' house.
Are you saying we could do a live episode from Slane Castle?
We could do a live episode from Slane Castle. My sister, when she was getting married, went to look at Slane Castle because Kerry Katona and Brian McFadden got married there. And she thought it smelled a bit damp. So that can be my insight.
Have we had an Irishman on the podcast yet as a couple? We haven't had anyone who's Irish yet.
I don't think so. I've strong opinions on Irishmen. So, you know, yeah, I think they've too much confidence. I don't think it suits them.
She's trying them with a strong opinion, guys. Well, to any future celebrity guests, the problem is Grania and I cannot choose these couples. They have to be chosen.
Powerless.
To any future guests, Gwen and Gavin's a big one. Kerry and Brian are a big one. Do you have any dream ones, Grania, that you're waiting for to come through?
Well, you know, I'm waiting for Liz Hurley and Hugh Grant.
Of course, icons. Of course. Number one. That's three to choose from, future guests. Pick one of them and you'll make Grania very... The research for Liz and Hugh, you wouldn't even have to do.
No.
Just be off week.
I'd just go into a trance state and it would all be there. Just white trousers, Lizzie O'Brien. It's the 90s.
Oh, it'd be amazing. Well, I love it. Well, please send us more feedback to anyone, to everyone listening. Send us more feedback of more dream couples. The more you tell us, the more we can put the word out to our guests. Because some guests come and they have no idea.
Speaking of dream guests, our guest in today's episode is an absolute dreamboat. And she's not only a fantastic comedian, but she's also the host of an incredible podcast, Spit or Swallow, with fantastic Sally Ann Hayward. And we are so lucky to have her. She is the absolute incredible Lou Comran.
The way they were.
Hi, Lou.
Hello, Grania Maguire. Hello. How are you?
Hello, lovely. How are you? It feels very formal. Good day, Lou Conran.
Good day. I have just come back from Gay Paris, where everybody speaks to everybody very formally.
Oh, the city of love for the podcast about love.
Exactly. Makes sense. Why I just mentioned it.
She traveled there just for us, guys. This is a big episode, listen. Yeah. She went all the way to Paris just to get romantic.
Yeah, I did.
That kind of research.
Hey, you're very welcome. I'll send you the bills. There you go.
Fantastic. Well, you know, it's all tax deductible, so we'll just send it to our accountants. We'll be fine.
Great. Fabulous. Thanks very much.
We're a very romantic podcast. Do you consider, are you a romantic person?
My gentleman caller would say absolutely not in any way, shape or form. I don't think I am. I used to think I was, but then I met him and he is very romantic.
Oh,
yeah. Like, but I've been away, as I said, don't know whether I mentioned that, been to Paris. But he, every time I go away, he always leaves me a little note in my bag telling me how much he loves me and like he's so grateful that we're together. I mean, you know, I think that's beautiful and lovely, but also probably he's probably saying, please don't run away with a French man.
But you know, does he do it every time you go away on holiday anywhere, though, just to Paris?
If I'm gigging and I'm away for a night, he'll put a note in my bag.
Oh, my God. I've never got that from anyone aside from my mom.
I know.
I'd love to have that.
His carbon footprint is horrific.
Chantal, do you want to hear something that will absolutely blow your mind? What profession do you think somebody as romantic and kind and thoughtful would have? What profession do you think Lou's boyfriend has?
Accountant.
You would think somebody steady, normal, reliable.
Yeah.
What does your boyf do, Lou?
Grania is a comedian.
Oh my God.
I know.
He's cheating. Of course. Of course. He's cheating. Don't tell me that. Now that explains the notes. Oh, honey, I love you so much. I'm off. Of course. Yeah. Now I get it. All right. Not so jealous anymore. Okay. God.
And then there was me thinking I'd banged the only comedian that isn't a twat.
Yeah.
Male comedian.
No, that's great. No one's ever said that before. That's great.
Sorry.
I did.
And how did you, because did you know each other before he's got together? How did you two get together?
So we worked together once about 5 years ago.
Just like on a gig.
And I remember thinking, ooh, fit. Had a wedding ring. Oh, got
not
it.
So fit.
Yeah. And then he boohoo split up with his wife. And then I met him in Australia pre-pandemic.
Did you meet him or like happened? Or did you get in touch with let's go meet in Australia?
Oh, no. So we were all working in Australia together. There was a group of us. Okay. And then he was there and I was there. And then he was having a sniff, as he calls it. Having a sniff, babes, having a sniff. And then, and I was not interested because I've had my fair share of comedic willies up the old love tunnel. And I thought, no, I'm not having this. And then gradually he just wooed me. Proper gentlemanly, like, you know what he's like, Grania. He's an absolute sweetie.
He is.
Proper put a shift in. Yeah.
Oh, that is good British labour. That is hard work.
Yeah. He really went for it. He once when we were very early days, I had some during the pandemic, had some friends coming up to visit. And then I was worried about money and stuff. And he went shopping for me, drove all the way from his house in Halifax, turned up the night before they arrived, knocked on the door at 10:30 at night and said, I bought you a food parcel for you and your friends to enjoy.
Oh, my God.
I know. And then all I had to do was suck his willy to say thank you.
That's it?
Yeah. I know. What a lovely man. How romantic is that?
He's romantic. You're not, but he is.
He is very, yes.
He is. Well, that's good. Usually always one of the couple is romantic, at least.
Yeah. He was the first to say, I love you. So that's...
I love it. I love when that happens.
Well, that's just the way it should be to anyone.
Absolutely.
Listening. The man should say it first. Come on, guys. Yeah. Everyone loves the women. Everyone loves us. Wait for him to say it. Jeez.
Yeah.
You know, do you want to hear something awful? I genuinely thought Mel had said, I love you to me. So I was like holding off. And finally, I was like, ta-da, fine. I'll say it. I love you. And it turned out I had just dreamt that he had said,
oh, no. Me.
Oh, and here we have another reason why it's doomed. Another one.
Oh, no, how embarrassing. Another reason why it's
doomed. Oh,
so I said to him, yeah. I said, you did say it first. Remember that morning you woke me up and before you went to work, you said, I loved you. Well, I heard you. And he was like, he never said that.
You'd be like, before you went to work as a spaceman in Jupiter. And then he realized.
Oh no, well, that's so gutting. Oh, Grania.
I was like, oh well.
Oh, wow. Well. Still be a fun wedding.
Lou, your couple,
yes,
you know, you two, you and your dream man work in similar fields. This isn't too much of a clue that the amazing couple that you brought along also met in a work situation. But okay. Chantelle doesn't know. She doesn't
know. Every single couple essentially has had the same job pretty much. Well, give or take. So yeah, that's not a huge clue. And I am very nervous about this one. I don't think I'm going to get that. I have a feeling I'm not going to get this one.
Oh, really? Oh, that's interesting.
I'm worried beyond I'm not going to get it. I'm worried I'm not going to know who they are. That's what I'm really stressed about. Okay, so let's go. I have a feeling.
Okay, so we've some clues for you, Chantelle. So first of all, they got together in the magnificent year of 1999.
Okay.
We were all partying that summer.
Yeah.
Because
we were.
It was the introduction of the euro. Bill Clinton was impeached. And we were all realizing, oh, he was dead the whole time in the film, The Sixth Sense. But that wasn't the only amazing thing that happened. We said good morning to their ready, steady love. But sadly, it turned out they didn't have all the ingredients to a happy ever after.
Okay. All right. So it's definitely one. Okay. I think I might guess who one of them is, but is one of them either Zoe Ball or Denise Van Outen? Am I close? Am I miles away?
Oh,
what's the good morning bit though? Is it Ainsley Harriet? And she's a cook. Is that he's a ready, steady cook? I don't fucking know who this is. Is it an English cook? Is it a chef?
Do you have a clue? Lou, do you want to give her a clue? Have you got a clue? How would you describe them?
Oh, well, one of them had a gastric band. There you go. And was larger than life, but then suddenly wasn't.
Is one of them, did one of them play the Vicar of Dibley? Is it her?
No.
I'm obsessed with being this couple.
No.
I don't know who this is. I don't think. I guess.
No.
Vanessa Feltz?
No. Oh, gosh. She smells like a tree outside. Oh.
Nope. And her surname is very patriotic.
Fern Britton? Okay, Fern Britton. That's just the chair. I put that together. John Leslie? Is that who she was with?
No, Christ almighty.
I've totally forgotten who this woman was with. This is the part of English. I'm going to be very quiet this episode, guys. This is a part of the culture I know very little about. I literally, Fern Britton is one of four English middle-aged blonde women who all look exactly the same to me. And I don't know who her ex-husband is or boyfriend. I have no idea what his name is. If you say it, I'll recognize it. What is it?
Phil Vickery.
I've never heard of that name in my life. Yay!
No way.
I have no idea who that is. Phil Vickery?
Yeah. Vickery. Lovely. Well, we don't know, do we? We don't know.
I'm intrigued now. I'm intrigued.
We're about to bloody find out.
I'm going to find out.
So, Lou, how would you, before we do a big deep dive, somebody like, how would you describe, we have listeners from all over the world, people who don't know the magic that was Fern and Phil in their prime.
Okay, so they kind of were like television royalty. Fern Britton was a presenter on a programme called This Morning. She was a cheeky woman, a middle-aged cheeky woman who was a little bit flirty, a little bit naughty, and her father was an actor, and she presented this morning. And then I think she met Phil Vickery, who was a celebrity chef. I think she met him on one of the programs that she also presented. And she's like the nation's sweetheart. She was, or she was, wasn't she, in her prime? And yeah, she was just what I think a wonderful woman.
Yeah.
I've looked up Phil Vickery while you were talking to see if I recognize the face. Vaguely.
Yeah.
He looks like a thousand English white men from the 90s. Anyone listening, if you just picture, close your eyes and just picture a white English dude from the 90s, sort of like typical male receding hairline, average yeah. looks, just those kind yeah. of thin lips that English men get. Mm-hmm. Not mm-hmm. unattractive, but also not gorgeous, just kind of a nice looking oh. chap, as my mom would say, a nice looking chap. That's how she would describe it. That's how I would describe it. A nice looking chap.
I used to think he was quite fit. Grand,
I was going to ask you this. Yeah. Was he meant to be? Was he kind of one of those people that was like, oh, actually quite fancy, Phil? Like, was he kind of one of those like celebrity chefs that housewives fancy?
I think he was, you know. Was okay, I yeah. think,
I can yeah. see that. He's got a bit of a glint in his eye.
Yeah, he had a little twinkle. Mm. Well, I don't know if he's got a little twinkle, but he's got a little twinkle okay, in his eye.
Up, so perhaps.
yeah, well, maybe. But he, yeah, he's sort of like the cheeky chappy, wasn't he, Gronin? Just sort of, mm-hmm. he still is, I think. He still presents on This Morning. But, yeah, he's, I would like to be fed by Phil.
Ooh, wow, hot dog.
Yeah.
Well, okay, before we go into a proper deep dive and know what you're all thinking, sure, they seem well matched, but what about the star signs?
Mm.
Well, this one is very interesting. Fern Britton, born 17th of July, she's a Cancer. Phil Vickery, 2nd of May, he's Taurus.
Ooh.
He's Taurus. So Chantal, one of your crowd.
One of my crowd.
I'm a Cancerian. What? So she's,
This is basically about me and Lou then.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is going to be also, if, you know, God forbid anything should happen with either of your dream partners, this is how successful your match will be.
Right. I mean, I'm into the onesie and the hair, so I'm halfway there.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So what do you think, percentage-wise, what do the stars above give a match like Fern and Phil? What do you think, Lou?
I would like to put them down as an 80% match.
Ooh, 80%.
I think maybe, I can't remember when it was they split up, but I think it may have been circumstances. I'd hate to think that they were not solely compatible. Well, obviously then they're not, because they're not together anymore. 80% I'm going with.
80%. So that was, you know, it was respectable.
I'm with you as well. Compatibility doesn't mean you have to be together forever. It can just mean you're very compatible while you were together.
Yes.
I guess I was very compatible with, and ones I wasn't compatible with, and that wasn't really ever the reason. So I think you're right. Being that I don't know this man, but I'd like that it's the same as our Sarah signs, and they look good together. I'll say in this picture.
Yeah.
I'm going to give them I'm going to hedge my bets and go sort of 64%.
64%. Well, guys, prepare to have your heart broken.
Oh, sure.
Or maybe this will be reassuring for you two. These two crazy kids had a 95% match.
Oh my God.
No way. Oh my God.
Like, we're basically soulmates, you and I. So.
Come on.
I can see similar hair, and you obviously have much better long-term hair shampoo and conditioner than I do. So we can borrow that. So this is great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or just though, scrape it up and put it up and then hide all the crusty bits.
Oh, you say there's some deep conditioner being used. That's soft and shiny, I can tell. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I'm wasting time. Go on.
So 95% match. So 95. Taurus, 95, that's the highest we've ever had. So Taurus, Phil Vickery, is a sign of physical pleasure.
Ooh.
They need to see, touch, smell, feel everything on their partner's body and enjoy making them satisfied. With Cancer, from Britain's need for closeness and the lack of ability to make their sexual life light and carefree, Taurus, Phil Vickery, has the perfect touch to relax them and build trust within their sexual relationship. But now here, okay, so this is Chekhov's gun. This next paragraph is a sign of maybe why things didn't work out. And remember, it's all in the stars.
Uh-huh.
With their lack of Mars, which is planet of passion, comes the lack of initiative. And this could be their problem when it comes to sex. In case they don't have a sexual drive stronger than their love of food, they could end up in an asexual relationship in which they would lie around the house, cook, eat, and gain weight all day long.
Oh, God. That
hey,
sounds like
lockdown
me.
Happened to a lot of us, okay? Don't screw yourself, right?
So that is like a bad sign for Fern and Phil, but it's a good sign for you two.
Yeah.
That's not a bad retirement plan.
I'm just very aware that you spend a lot of that time talking about how much Taurus is loved to be touched sensually and that my brother does listen to this podcast. So I really hope that something very loud happened while you were talking about that.
Do you, are you a sensual lover though, Chantal? Are you? Do you really throw yourself at it?
Every single time, honestly, and twice on Sunday. Yeah.
I'm never more satisfied with a bit of cunnilingus and a Cornish pasty at the same time.
Are you sure you're not a Taurus? Are you sure you're not a Taurus? Yeah, you are. Maybe you're a Taurus rising. Maybe you're a Taurus rising.
Something's rising. I don't know. Well, it's, yeah, maybe.
Well, we know how you celebrated your Jubilee.
That's right.
Okay, let's get into Fern. So I have to say, did a deep dive. Fern is quite a bit. Phil Vickery, he's very much, he's been interviewed in relation to Fern. So he's very much a shadowy figure in this podcast. It's kind of hard to kind of really nail him down as a protagonist, but we'll do our best. So Britton was born in London to her dad was an actor and his first wife. Then, now this is mad, her parents divorced. Then she found out when she was 18 that she had a half brother that nobody had told her about.
What?
Classic.
So she's a half brother, Jasper, which is her dad's son with the second wife. But throughout her childhood, no one told Fern of Jasper's existence.
Wow.
She said, to this day, I can't explain why. It's my parents' business, not mine. But they were never felt able to tell me their reasons. So she was tipped off by her sister that they had got this half little brother they didn't know about. He opened the front door and his first words to me was, I've had to scrub myself with vim to meet you. It made us both laugh and we've got on from that day.
Wow. That's what's gone on there then. Why has he been a secret? I can't get my head around that at all. Why would you keep it? That's like Boris Johnson. He's got all of his kids are secret, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's a posh English thing.
Oh.
Was she quite posh then?
Well, I think so.
Back in those days, being an actor meant you had lots of money and you were posh, I guess. So, yeah.
So, wow, I'm flabbergasted by that. Poor Fern.
Yeah, and she was like, oh, well, we've got on really well. So he's a Shakespearean actor now.
Of course he is.
Of course he is.
Great. Brilliant.
So Fern's first marriage was to TV executive Clive Jones. So he was the one who invented Ronald Ratt.
Who?
Ronald Ratt. Am I saying that wrong?
Roland Ratt.
Roland.
Who the hell is Ronald?
He's a half brother he didn't know about.
I know Roland Ratt.
He invented Roland Ratt.
Yes, Fern Britton's first husband was the the person who gave the green light to Roland Ratt.
Oh, God, no wonder she left him. Oh, God. Oh, no. No, no. Imagine him bringing that into the boudoir.
Yeah.
Just going to test this, see if it works. Oh, no. Awful.
So the couple met while Jones was still married and they began an affair.
Oh.
So he broke off the affair after a year, but then turned up on her doorstep 2 years later saying he had left his wife for her.
This is Roland Ratman.
This is Roland Ratman.
So they split up, but he was still so enamored with Fern Britton that he had to dump his wife and then come to her 2 years later and say, I can't live without you, please be mine. And then, and it still didn't work
out. Two days. That's all he could handle. He was like, fine.
I'm sorry, I got that confused. That's crazy. Okay, God. Fern Britton, who knew?
So she's obviously she's a very charismatic person. Yeah. She has an effect on men, obviously.
Well, she's got a powerful puss. That's what it is. She's really bringing all her boys to the yard. Yeah, isn't she?
I feel like she might be a bit of like a bit like how Camilla was to Charles. So she's got a certain something. She's got a little to bring it back to the Jubilee times, a certain je ne sais quoi, a certain something.
I think it's a posh bird thing.
Ooh.
I think, posh bird thing. I think she's
from Britain, it's posh, but you're right, I suppose she is.
Yeah, I think it's very Jilly Cooper, isn't it, to just sort of like, oh, be all a little bit la-di-da, but secretly I bet she's got a sex dungeon somewhere.
Yeah, I think you're saying she's filth. That's always the way with posh.
Yeah,
women.
Yeah,
always the way.
Yeah,
and she's probably thinking, you know what? What's the worst that can happen? I could have a half brother I didn't know about.
Yeah, exactly.
Been through it all.
So she gets with Roland Ratman. They're together.
She gets together with Roland Ratman. They get married in 1988. They have three children together. Now, she says she struggled quite a lot to get pregnant. She had twins, and then she had a daughter. And then basically her marriage to Jones disintegrated very quickly after she had their third child. And she says she had really bad postnatal depression, and she's just a mess, and just sort of she says in her own words, the marriage wasn't in good shape, and I was only thinking about work when it came to the end. The boys were four. Grace hadn't even started toddling. And I remember thinking at the time that nobody would take on a 40-something woman with three kids like me.
Oh, goodness. She was wrong.
Well, that was around the same time she started working on a little show called Ready, Steady, Cook. So, Fern, she's got three young kids. She's single. She's like, oh, my God, nobody will ever want me ever again. Then she's at work. Somebody says to her, Phil Vickery fancies you. And I went, remind me, which one is he? I looked, and then I thought, oh, he has nice hands.
Mr. Darcy, please.
It's good. It's good when they have good hands. It's good when they have good hands.
Okay, so bear in mind, okay, so she's kind of in a vulnerable place. She's getting over it. Like, she's had, you know, postnatal depression. She's got three young kids, you know, long marriage. Yeah, so how do you think she approached finding out that this guy at work fancies her? What do you think the move was?
She's ballpark, like, how early 40s, I'm saying?
Early 40s, mid 40s.
Okay. And she just found out, like, in schools, he fancies you.
Yeah.
I think she'd have gone straight in. I think she'd have gone, do you know what? I've had a right old to do with it. Oh, if he fancies me, I'm just going to go and I'm going to lay my cards on the table. Yeah, there you go. Do you want this? This is how I imagine her.
Oh, like go to his green room and like just get naked and sit there and wait for him to come back from his cooking spot.
Yeah, or lay on the floor covered in sushi. Like,
yeah, very
come on,
Samantha
then.
Jones. Yeah. Yeah. Are you in or are you out?
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
What did she actually do?
Okay, well, he describes what she did. He said, Phil Vickery, that she made her first move by kidnapping him and driving him to her place.
Yikes. Okay. I like it.
So apparently she was just like, yeah, you're coming home with me. Then this is how he describes it. The next morning, she put all my clothes in the washing machine to keep me there when she went out. Then when she got back, I was watching TV with this strategically placed cushion. And she said, aha, a Nicholas man in my house.
Oh, dirty bitch.
Bloody hell, she really is.
Yeah.
But I like that he's also a domestic. She didn't take his clothes, she washed his clothes. You know, that's quite nice.
Why did she wash them?
She's a mum. She sees dirty clothes, she's washing them. She has three kisses. Yeah.
But if she's a filthy beast.
Yeah, but only in the bedroom, in the living room, in the kitchen.
Yeah. But we don't know how long it took her to get him out of the car and into the boudoir, because she could have ripped all of his clothes off and they could have got mucky and love juice and everything, which is why she's put them in the washing machine. You just don't know.
This was clearly a weekend when the Ronald Rat guy had the kids.
Yeah.
All placed to herself.
The next day, this is now Fern takes over the story. The next day, he baked me this irresistible gooseberry crumble.
Oh, it's so easy when you're a chef. It's so easy. It's so easy. I mean, you would, but it's so easy. If they didn't cook for me the next day, but like, you know what? Why are you even here? If you're not cooking for me, what are we doing? You know what I mean? Like a chef.
Yeah. I want to know if she had custard or cream.
For like at least a year, every single meal better be like incredible and new. It had to be new every time as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
She said, she said, I doubted he'd want to commit though. But he said, well, it's a recipe, isn't it? Just add water, instant family. If I want you, and I do, I get the rest.
Oh, okay, see, you're one of those chefs that just turns every single emotional conversation into a cooking metaphor. Hey, maybe we need to spice it up. Is every conversation become a metaphor involving food and cooking? Because that would get really old real fast.
But I guess if she's laid her cards on the table and she's quite brazenly kidnapped him, put him in the car, held him hostage in her house, he's got a lot to live up to, hasn't he? He's got to keep her on her toes. Being a fellow Cancerian, I don't like to be bored. I like spontaneity. I like somebody to surprise me. So recipes of love and all of that, he's got to keep it different and unique, hasn't he, to keep her interest piqued. So he's got to work hard. I bet he's knackered.
What's the age difference between these two?
So she's 4 years older.
Okay. Yeah, I gathered it. You could tell she was older. Yeah, I gathered that. Okay.
So do you think as well, it seems like it happened very quickly and very smoothly. Do you think part of it is, you know, they're in their early 40s, they're not idiots, they kind of know what they want. Do you think, like, is that why you and your dreamboat, do you think that's why things work with you? Do you think it's easier, like, almost getting together with people when you've had experience?
I think I've just reached a point of no return where I was like, I don't want anything anymore. That's it. I've had my lot. And I just sort of came to the conclusion I was very happy to be on my own for the rest of my life. And then, of course, that's when the universe decides otherwise. And my gentleman caller is 10 years older than me.
Oh, he's lovely. Yeah,
he has the mental age of a 12-year-old. And so do I. And I think that's probably why we get on, because we've both realised that we are idiots and we're the only ones that will put up with each other. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think experience-wise, you just know what you don't want and you know what you do want. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Phil's background here, was he obviously he was single. He wasn't with anyone when they met.
He was sick. So again, he's a mystery man.
As far as we know. Okay, so we don't know. He could have had three wives before this. Who knows? But he was definitely single at the time, as far as we're
aware. He was
aware.
Single. If any listeners have any information regarding the backstory of Phil Vickery, please put it on the internet. Because there's a whole area of study wide open for
the origin story of Phil Vickery. Help us, everyone.
Yeah, maybe he's James Bond.
He? Yeah.
Maybe he's undercover. Right? You just don't know, do you?
That's right. Maybe he was a spy in France in a kitchen. He had a little cooking that way, and then he just came over here. Anyways, go on.
Well, so they moved very quickly. So Christmas Eve of that year, as Ferdin was making mince pies, Phil proposed. Then the following May, they wed quickly at a local registry office. Fern said, we simply walked in and got married. I was in tears and so was Bill.
Wow. Oh, was she knocked up?
How long have they been together at this point? Less than a year?
Oh, just over a year. Over a year. So they met in 98. They met in 99. They got engaged Christmas Eve 99, married following May.
Goodness. Okay. So not messing about. Right.
So this is
when you know.
When you know, you know. So this, we're kind of approaching Fern and Phil in their sort of pomp. So she's presenting this morning. He's like a guest chef on this morning. So is this when you, Lou, started? Is this when you got to know them? Were you a fan of this morning?
I always watched Fern on this morning because I loved her on it. Mm-hmm. But also she lived in the same area as I did.
Oh,
And I was always a bit like, oh, she lives down the road. And that's quite nice, knowing that you've got a celebrity that lives down the road. And I just think she's just a woman of the people. She's just like you and me. She's just the same as everybody else. She used to say she's, you know, speak as she found. And she just appealed to me. And that's, I sort of fell in love with her on Ready, Steady, Cook and This Morning. And then when she had a relationship with Phil Schofield, and the two of them just used to like giggle all the time, and I was just like, do you know what, I love you. And she was brilliant at her job.
Was Phil Vickery like that as well then? Was he someone that everyone loved? Was he really, I don't know who this man is.
I guess he was after she started, after she married him. I guess people have to go, oh well, he's obviously lovely as well. But I think out of the two of them, it's Fern that's always sort of like
the star.
Yeah.
What I liked about their dynamic was with Fern, obviously she kind of has this, like, she's not like the stereotypical TV presenter. She's like older, she's like, oh, I get depressed, and you know, she's very open about life, she's bigger, and she's got this sexy, honest vibe. And then Phil Vickery, he seemed like the quiet hot guy. And I loved that dynamic. Right. I loved it. It was like, she was like the girl you chat to in the pub, and then you'd meet her husband, and he was just like really good looking, quite quiet and nice.
Yeah. I like that dynamic as well.
Yeah.
Good. I think I have that.
You root for it, don't you?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, good for both of you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I bet she's got knee-high boots that she stands on him, or she used to stand on him with, you know? I bet she used to whip him a bit.
There was a twinkle behind the eye.
Yeah. You just think, oh, while you're cooking that flan this morning, Phil, what were you doing last night?
Oh my God, I bet she made him do so much cooking in an apron and nothing else. Oh yeah. God, I bet that was such a massive part of their lives.
Yeah. Or one of those aprons with boobs on.
Yeah. Definitely got so many novelty aprons. It's so Anyway, so how long, what happened with these
kids? So here, while they were together, and they were together 20 years, and Fern loved giving sort of her take on, you know, marriage advice. And she's very like your mum's friend. That's the vibe I got from her. Like an auntie that you really like.
That's so fun in 20 years. That's crazy. Jeez.
So she said, the biggest row my husband Phil and I had was when I, so she went on Strictly, was when I put fake tan on. Because he's a chef, he's very sensitive to smells and he can't stand it. So we didn't speak for 4 days. But now I've convinced him it's an essential part of the Strictly experience, and he'll be sleeping in the spare room on spray tan days.
For all our listeners, she's a friend of Strictly Come Dancing, which is like the English version of Dancing with the Stars and other things that it's called in other countries. Those are the only two names I know for that program.
So she put her foot down when it comes to spray tan. Then she said she and her husband had humdinger arguments. She said, but then we're normal. And that's good for the children to see that this is a real relationship. You hear people say 30 years and not a crossword. Sorry, I simply don't believe that. But if it's true, how boring.
I've never had an argument with my gentleman caller.
See, the thing, me and Mehl, we don't really argue either. We argued nonstop for the first 3 months and then we were kind of done.
I mean, I'm going to say I saw Grania this weekend and the first thing she said when I arrived was, me and Mehl had an argument last night. But okay, you keep living that lie, Grania. Whatever you got to tell yourself and the listeners, fine by me.
What about you, Chantal? Do you and your boyfriend argue?
He's going out with me. Of course we argue. Have you met me? Of course. I'm like the most awful person to be with. Of course we argue. It's mainly me arguing. Boys argue with me because I argue with boys, basically. So it's a very different thing.
But now I can't be asked. I can't be asked. I don't do confrontation. And actually, I've had relationships with so many idiots before that, and he's had relationships with idiots before that, it's just like, oh, it's just exhausting, isn't it? So if there's something to be sorted out, we just sort of sort it out, and then there's no sort of big doodah about it, really.
Do you know, I bet Phil and Fern used to have huge arguments that would descend into food fights, and then they'd have sex.
Yeah.
Like Last Tango in Paris. Mm-mm. Yeah.
Last Tango.
So here's what she said about Phil. She said, we We have let each other have our freedom. He's a man who has always got to meet a man about a dog. He says, I'll be about half an hour. That might be a couple of days. We don't crowd each other and we are happy with that.
Oh, he loves a dog then, doesn't he?
Yeah, right? He just pops up for a few days and no one asks any questions. Okay, I mean, if that's how they roll, that's how they roll.
Then this is her advice on how to keep the spark alive in a relationship. Men don't want women who are done up to the nines. They want someone who's a giggle and who'll fall to the floor for a moment of unbridled passion if they fancy.
Great, with a dog.
You can do both.
There's a man outside with a dog. What does that mean? Oh, invite him in. There we go. He's one of the blokes I've been meeting. Come on.
Say, you can be down to the nines and be a giggle. So both things are allowed to happen at once. It's not one or the other, Fern.
And here's what she says about what do you think her appeal is? I have no idea what my appeal is. One of the dads on the school run said his wife admired me because of the way I looked.
Oh, I bet she loved hearing that, the wife.
Do you think she went to the school gates in a onesie?
Yeah.
Do you think she'd done that? Her slippers in a onesie, just festering in her own stench. Yeah.
To all the men out there, I don't think any wife really wants to hear you come home and tell her how much you admire the looks of another woman at the school gates. That's not the equivalent of a lovely love note in a packed lunch before you go on holiday, for instance. You know, that's the exact opposite.
Mm.
So I was able to find some quotes from Phil. So basically just two. He said, I know my place. I've even been called Mr. Firm Britain.
Oh, that's quite emasculating, isn't it?
But he seems quite happy.
Yeah.
For like, he knows who people are here to see. He knows who brings the razzle dazzle.
It's like Prince Philip, though, wasn't it? He pretended that he was happy with all of that. But I've watched The Crown. I know he wasn't. So, and we know that was all based on fact. So,
and it would be quite different, I have to say, in Lou's defense, it'd be quite different if he was like Dolly Parton's husband, you don't ever meet or anything, or someone off the screen. But being that he was himself definitely trying to have a massive TV career, you don't just become a celeb chef by accident. Like, it takes a lot of work and you have to want to do that. So, he himself would have wanted to be a big star himself. So, I can imagine it being a bit of an issue, perhaps, in a way that it wouldn't be if he was, say, a producer like Ronald the Rat Guy, who was just in the background and didn't care about being a celebrity. That I would believe a bit easier, I'll say that.
And then he was asked, you know, being on television, do you have a lot of like attention from female fans? And he said, I'm too old for that sort of thing, and I've met the girl of my dreams already.
Oh, get out.
Sweet. Don't buy it, but that's sweet.
No, ill have had ladies taking Polaroids of their bits and pieces and sending them in. Of course he would.
Maybe it depends how old he was when they asked him that question, I guess. Was this him like in his 60s instead of his 40s?
No, they're all in their 40s at this stage.
Oh, shut up, mate. Oh, God, whatever. Too old.
Yes, he was like the people used to watch This Morning for a little bit of a giggle. Ladies used to watch it if they were at home, stereotypically waiting to go and collect their kids. And they would obviously enjoy it a little bit more if Mr. Phil Vickery was on the telly as a little bit of... Yes, exactly. I think that's why he was there. Yeah.
And there's nothing I love more. This thing I love more than anything else. When you have married couples hosting things together.
Oh, I know.
It's just magic.
It's fun, yeah.
Oh, Richard and Judy. Oh. I'm just waiting for them to split up so somebody can do them as a couple.
So are we. I have a lot of opinions. But yeah, that must have been really fun. So how long were they on TV together? Because they only broke up. They were together for 20 years and she got off TV a while ago, didn't she? Like 5-6 years ago?
Well, there was a sort of a golden period. Mm-hmm. Of when they were on This Morning, and then Phil would be on and it would be like, ooh, because she's sort of the loud, you know, sexy girl. And then he's like the nice, sweet guy in the kitchen.
Oh, so you'd like love, like, oh, the Vickery's on. Vickery's one of those episodes. Yeah, you're all excited. Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, go on.
So it's very sweet. I just love it. I just, because you're looking for that intimate moments between the two of them. Do you gig much with your boyfriend, Lou?
Oh God. At the beginning, when people first found out that we were together, they would book us. And it used to infuriate me. And I used to always say, we're not the crankies. I don't want to gig with you. And he would be inside me 24 hours a day if he could. And I don't want that. I like my space. I've been on my own a long time.
You need to see a man about a dog.
I do.
You're the Vickery.
Thank you, Phil. Phil Vickery. Yes, that's why. Phil Vickery is the yes, God, who knew? So yeah, but we do gig occasionally together. Sometimes I don't mind it, sometimes I quite like it, and sometimes I like to go away for a few days just to get some space. I think that's normal though, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. It is normal. You should
work for Phil and her for 20 years.
Yeah, work for them for 20 years. Oh, and she liked to keep, so she did surprise him. She was a real firecracker, this gal. She could not be tamed. So here's a list of some of the things she did that annoyed Phil that we know of.
Okay.
So one time she rang him saying she was running late. Could he pick up the kids because she was getting a tattoo done?
Great.
And she hadn't told him. That was just her way of saying, I'm in a tattoo parlor, getting a tattoo. He wouldn't speak to me after that.
Oh, what was the tattoo of? Roland Rat.
She's a wild stallion. She's a wild stallion of this relationship. She got
good for Fern.
And then another time, so as you mentioned, she got a gastric band fitted because she wanted to lose weight. She's getting frustrated. She said he was terrified when I told him that my GP and surgeon both suggested I should have it fitted. He said he wasn't happy. He liked me as I was, but the process was gradual and I did keep my bosoms, which pleased him.
Lovely. That's good. Yeah. Well done, Fern.
It sounds like she very definitely kept him on his toes. She said he has absolute freedom to do what he wants. He goes and has a pint with his mates. He works or he's with the pigs. He does what he loves. If he's happy, I'm happy. He doesn't stop me from doing anything either. She says, lust is great, but when you really love someone and you trust each other and you're in bed together drinking tea and chatting, that is a true relationship.
Oh gosh, why did it end?
Yeah, so what happened?
I'm going to read you two more quotes before we get to that. And it's just, you know, this was a difficult episode to research. It was kind of heartbreaking. She said, I find it amazing to have a true partnership with somebody. Oh. Phil knows how to make me happy. Not a day goes by when he doesn't tell me he loves me.
Oh my goodness.
And then this is what really, oh my God, did it for me. Because she said, you know, she suffers from like imposter syndrome and depression and things like that. And she said, one day Phil stopped the car at the top of the drive to look at the house. And he said, if you're right about being complete rubbish, how did we manage this? So he cooks. He loves her. He gives her constant company. He gives her space. He just hangs around with his mates when she wants
to. Just for a bit.
Yeah. Just vanishes. She has her space.
But did they have any children together?
I don't think so. I'll check.
I think they did, didn't they? Didn't they have Winnie or something?
Hang on.
They got two boys. Then Grace, and then I think there's Winnie. Not that I'm an authority on Fern's fertility, but
hang on. I know she had three with the first.
Yeah,
she did. She had Winnie, so she had a daughter with him, and three children in her first relationship.
Oh, there was the daughter quite early on in their relationship.
So okay. What I want before we go any further, imagine it's Fern and Philip at the height of their glory. She's presenting this morning. He's cooking away. He's wandering off to check his pigs. She's doing whatever she wants to, getting drunk with Philip Schofield. You get a phone call. Hey, we're in town. Phil and Fern are about. What do you imagine a night out with Phil and Fern being like?
Oh, I bet it's hilarious. I bet Phil will bring snacks. Mm. I bet Fern will go, I'm going to put my car behind the bar. Have whatever you want. I think they'll be dancing. I think Phil will just be sat there staring at his wife, watching her just hold court and be brilliant. I bet it's amazing. I bet it's amazing.
I bet she would say something, like reveal something quite intimate about her or him, and then he'd get really embarrassed and she'd be like, oh, for God's sake. And then
yeah, he'd go, yeah, like, oh, I've got love eggs in at the moment and they're on a remote control. Don't tell anybody. Yeah. I bet, yeah, I bet they'd do something like that. It's always the, Phil is the quiet one. He'd have the remote control. And then when Fern's having a serious conversation with somebody in the corner, and then they'd be like, and then she'd be like,
yeah, oh, you, but
yeah, yeah,
a
yeah.
Of, I reckon. A lot of times in a local pub as well. Imagine they spend a lot of time in a local yeah. pub.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the, they're not a London bar type.
No, where the house is, or I don't know whether they've still got it. Not that I stalk them. It's beautiful countryside in Buckinghamshire. Lovely, lovely, lovely. Oh, beautiful place to go. Yeah.
I bet she's got, do you think she's got a tankard?
A what?
A tankard.
At the pub, that stays at the pub.
Oh. Yeah.
Could she have a tankard?
I bet she probably has. Or a Toby yeah. jug. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. It'd be a good night out. I agree. I think it'd be a fun night out.
I think it would get messy, but the best type of messy.
Yeah, I don't think they're one of those couples that get in a massive fight or anything on a night out with friends. Maybe in the car ride home, but they wouldn't do that in front of you.
Yeah.
Or, I don't think they're one of those couples that gets off on arguing in front of their friends.
And then they'd perhaps say, look, why doesn't everyone come back? Phil's going to cook something to help the hangover. Phil will get back and go, do you know, I'm just going to knock up some foie gras with some French toast and an omelette and some Marmite. If you want some, come back. Let's have a nightcap whilst troughing in a buffet.
Do you know what there would be? I can see it now. Fern would put songs on. They'd be dancing in the kitchen. They'd be dancing in the kitchen. Yeah, that's, I think you'd be hammered. I imagine everybody really, really drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Bill cooking up something.
Yeah.
And everybody dancing away in the kitchen.
Bit of ABBA, bit of Dancing Queen.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
She'd be up on the island, dancing up on the kitchen island. Yeah. She'd have like a bag of crisps in her hand. She'd be gin and tonic swirling around, and everyone would be like, phone, 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 phone. Oh, it'd be brilliant. Yeah.
Drunk dialing Philip Schofield. He'd be like, I told you not to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God.
It'd be amazing. Fern put the world to rights.
Yeah.
Being a really good gossip. I imagine she's a really good gossip.
Yeah.
She's got stories.
Yeah. I'd like to think she's the sort of woman that would flash her tits when she's drunk and just not care. I think she, I'm just saying that because that's what I do.
As truly beautiful as that scene was, we know what's coming. In 2020, over Twitter, Phil and Fern announced they're splitting.
Oh,
it was during lockdown.
Oh, gosh.
So during lockdown, and this is what she said. We had a wonderful time. We were the best of friends, and I miss that friendship. But there comes a time when the children are substantially off your hands and you look at each other and wonder where you're going to go from here.
Did he say anything?
They both just issued the same statement on Twitter, and that was kind of it. And
that was the end of that.
He hasn't got a big Twitter, you know, internet footprint.
Social media presence,
his words haven't been recorded. So Lou, what do you think happened? What went wrong? 95% love match.
Yeah. I think potentially if he's the sort of man that's gone out to see a man about a dog, right? They're trapped in the house together, as we all were with Pete. Or, well, I was on my own for most of it, but they're trapped in the house together. Maybe they just didn't have the space that they both were so used to. And maybe they just looked at each other and went, we're not banging anymore. We're just mates. We're effectively housemates. I love you, but I want to move to Cornwall. Why don't you stay here in Buckinghamshire? Perhaps we'll meet for a gin and tonic and an omelette once every couple of months. Oh, I'm gutted. I didn't realize it was in the pandemic.
You knew it happened.
I know it happened, but oh god, this is like when I went to watch Titanic and I cried at the end because I didn't know what happened. I was like, my boyfriend at the time was like, you know about Titanic? I was like, oh yeah, I do. So, but yeah, I'm absolutely gutted for them. Now you've sort of say it out loud like that, yeah. Grainne. Yeah. They're 95% compatible.
3 years of 95%. Those kids couldn't make it work. What do you think it was? What you think it was that they became mates and that was it?
Yeah.
But Starsides did warn us. They warned us. They warned us. It was there all the time.
Written in the stars.
And do you think because she seems like she's such a strong character and she seems like quite a brave person. Do you think she just was like, even though most people would probably just live with that 5% that doesn't quite work. Do you think she's just she's like, no, I want something next.
I think she's all or nothing. Now, as a Cancerian, I can go with that. I want all of the wine or I won't have any. So I think she's like, I want all of the great things in the relationship or nothing at all. Mm-hmm. So I think she's gone, well, that's slipping. You've not made me my favourite pasta dish in a while. We're done. Where's my gorgonzola pasta? Mm-hmm. No, that's it now. Yeah, I think all or nothing for her.
And it's been about 2 years since then. Have they said anything since?
Well, so Phil, who's now 59, has been reportedly exchanging a string of flirty messages with a Yorkshire Dale sheep farmer who he met while filming a segment for This Morning. So he's been linked. Who knows? But she's sexy shepherdess.
Like a good match.
Yeah.
That sounds
she's
nice.
She's a shepherd.
She's a shepherdess.
That's nice. And what about Fern?
Well, what I could find from the interviews with Fern is a lot of it was like, you know what? There's all the stuff I always wanted to do. Plays I wanted to see, books I wanted to read. She's been going on cycling holidays. She's been writing novels. But I think this sums up Fern's maybe attitude to life.
Okay.
And maybe her motto going forward. She said, it must be something to do with my hormones. When you get to 40, you think, I'm not going to take any more shit from anybody. When you get to 50, you start saying, fuck off to everybody. When you're 60, you think, do you know what? I can't be arsed.
Brilliant.
That's it.
Brilliant.
I mean,
good for her.
Yeah. She just can't
How
be arsed.
Old am I? No, I'm 48 this year, so I'm 2 years away from fuck off, am I?
Yeah.
Two years away from fuck off.
You're building towards that.
Yeah. And then
fuck off, yeah.
12 years away from I can't be arsed.
Can't be bothered at all.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, dear. I better warn the gentleman.
Imagine 70 for Fern. Mm. What's coming?
So it was a split, as heartbreaking as it was, but in every split, there's a winner. And there is a loser. Mm. So this is the big question the podcast is leading towards. Lou, with the information you now have in the split between Fern Britton and Phil Vickery, imagine they're your friends. You're hoping they're both doing very well. But really, when you're with your other friends and you're chatting about them, which one do you think thrived and which one simply survived? Who won the breakup?
Fern.
Oh, quick answer.
Yeah. I think, as we've already established, she's got to fuck off. She's now got to can't be arsed. Mm-hmm. That lady has done what she's wanted. She kidnapped a man 25 or however long years ago it was. She's had all of the food. She's had the buffet. She's had the dancing. She's had the fun times. And now she's off living wherever she lives in Cornwall. She's writing her books. As you said, she's cycling. She's winning at life.
Yeah.
If she wants a hookup, she could have a Cornish fisherman, perhaps.
I definitely see that for her in her future.
Yeah, same. Yeah. I see that as well.
Phil, you sort of get the idea that if he's going off with a shepherdess, good for you. Go to the middle of bumfuck nowhere. Enjoy your life with your pigs and your sheep. well done. A little bit boring from my point
yeah.
of view. But, you know, when does he reach? Can't be asked. I don't think men do, do they?
Yeah.
They're always searching for love, always searching for something. Never content, are they? They've got to have that kind of mother figure in their lives.
The little Bo Peep. He wants his little Bo Peep.
Abso-fucking-lutely. Yes. Good for Fern.
Well, she's got her mysterious sea captain right there in her future.
Yes. Oh, having sex in a lighthouse somewhere.
Oh, with Captain Birdseye.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Captain Birdseye. She has Captain. He's hot. Yeah, he's a silver fox.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, major,
I bet Birdseye's, she does it with Birdseye her wellies on as well. Or her waders and her sou'wester. Yeah, come on. Take me in my sou'wester. Ooh, bad man. Yeah. Take me off with your tugboat of joy. Yeah. Ooh, I might message her. Hello, Fern. You don't know me, but are you getting done by Portland Bill? Yeah.
So we've got one more final question that is equally as important.
Yes.
It is. It is, Lou. We're trying to find a partner for another female icon who is believably single. We don't believe she necessarily needs someone. Simply she deserves someone to love her. Yeah. Gender is not an issue here. Whether the person is taken or not, we believe any partner would step aside. Can you think of anyone who can reach up to the level of Cher?
And go with your bones. Your bones know.
Elton John.
Oh, Elton John. I cannot believe no one has suggested that before. I'm blown away that no one has suggested Elton John before.
Really? It now, just seems like a natural fit, doesn't it?
It really does.
Talk us through it.
Okay.
Talk about tantrums and tiaras.
Imagine them trying on each other's frocks and each other's clothes.
All the furs, all the,
oh my goodness, all the tiaras, they must be the roughly jewelry. The same sort of age.
Yeah.
Imagine them in their home together, in their mobility scooters, just holding hands and singing songs with each other. He can play the piano. She can be auto-tuned. It'll be fabulous.
They've both got similar-ish kind of voices. They've both got good pipes. They could really work together.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I think it'd be joyous. Day.
Can I just say, I would love if on their Christmas cards, it was just the two of them straddling a cannon.
Oh!
Can you imagine?
Love Elton and Cher.
Yeah.
Oh. We turn back time, baby. And we're both still standing.
Yeah, exactly.
Elton polishing a cannonball and Cher standing by the end of it, looking like she's licking the end. Yeah. Oh, beautiful.
Oh, that's a great one.
That's so good.
I can't believe no one said that before.
You're welcome.
Shame on all of our other guests.
Literally shame. That was wonderful stuff. Thank you. Where can our listeners find more of your amazing ideas?
Well, I don't know about ideas, but they can find me on the socials at Lou Conran, LouConran. I also do a podcast called Spit or Swallow, which the lovely Gronya has been a guest on, and we thought the Queen had died, but she hadn't, which is about wine tasting, supposedly.
And it's so funny. It's so funny. She's been very coy. It's so funny. It's comedians going on, talking about the favorite alcoholic beverage, the favorite wine, and telling really funny stories about times they got drunk. And they're the funniest stories. It's so brilliant. It's a fantastic podcast.
Thank you. Well, this has been a joy. I've listened to lots of your episodes and I've had a wonderful time. Thank you. Yes.
We should do a crossover. We're very drunk people try to remember what celebrity couples are still together.
Yeah, let's do that. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
The Way They Were is an Amanda Redman production, produced by Abby Weaver and Amanda Redman.
We want to hear your celebrity couple crush, so email us on thewaytheywerepod@gmail.com.
Or find us on Twitter at thewaytheywerepod and we're on Instagram at thewaytheywerepodcast.
Thanks so much to Audio Boom for hosting and thanks to you for listening. Until the next time, goodbye.
Goodbye. The way they were.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.